news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
CBS News Brief.
Say it loud, say it clear. Donald Trump's not welcome here.
Protesters outside Windsor Castle ahead of President Trump's arrival for a visit with the royal family.
Our relationship is very good with the UK, and Charles, as you know, who's now king, is my friend.
A Spirit Airlines passenger got too close to Air Force One for comfort as it carried the president and first lady to London.
Spirit wings 1300, turn 20 degrees right immediately.
Air traffic controllers urging the Spirit pilots to get out of the way. The two planes came within 8 miles of each other over New York. The former director of the CDC will testify before the Senate Health Committee today. Correspondent Allison Keyes from Washington.
In her prepared remarks, Susan Minara says she was fired because she did not pre-approve recommendations from a vaccine advisory panel, regardless of scientific evidence, or fire vaccine policy officials.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. An 11-year-old is Milwaukee's latest homicide victim. Milwaukee police have confirmed that an 11-year-old was fatally shot last night near 68th Street and Silver Spring Drive. The child was taken to Children's Wisconsin but died at the hospital. There have been no reports of an arrest. An investigation continues. The flood cleanup for many now turns to getting financial help. The August storms did a lot of damage, leaving many Wisconsinites and business owners struggling to recover. FEMA funds have been approved and people can now apply. A state agency is also trying to help throw some money around. The Small Business Administration put out a statement yesterday about their low-interest disaster loans. People and businesses in Milwaukee, Washington, and Waukesha counties may be eligible for two categories of loans: physical damage and economic injury assistance. Businesses in surrounding counties can apply for the economic injury one. The loans can help fix property, cover lost business, or provide working capital to get things back to normal. There are deadlines to apply for all types of assistance. There's more about the new options on the Small Business Administration website. There are many pros and cons of tipping one or two back. Now there's another for the con category. Joanne Krulatz has more.
Bad news for consumers of a beverage many Wisconsinites love. A new study from Radboud University in the Netherlands shows that mosquitoes are especially attracted to beer drinkers. Researchers had 500 volunteers in Amsterdam filled out questionnaires about their hygiene, diet, and behavior, then placed each participant's arm into a cage of mosquitoes. Beer drinkers were 1.35 times more likely to encounter mosquitoes than those who didn't. Southeast Wisconsin is experiencing a significant increase in mosquitoes due to recent historic flooding.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Badgers try to regroup. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, after losing to Alabama, the Wisconsin Badgers hope to bounce back when they host the 3-0 Maryland Terrapins this Saturday. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell on trying to turn around the program in the NIL portal transfer era.
Whether you're playing with three redshirt freshman offensive linemen or, you know, a lot of guys that, you know, their first time playing together with us, we have to make sure that we aren't just focused on the destination. Saturday will take care of itself.
NFL, the Packers have their first road game this week. Safety Xavier McKinney says they can't overlook the 0-2 Browns this Sunday in Cleveland.
I still think they got a good team. I think if you look at their roster of who they have on their team and what they can do, they got a lot of talent. It could turn around quickly for them.
Baseball, it's the Brewers and Angels tonight in game two of that series in Milwaukee. Brandon Woodruff gets the start. Last night, Freddy Peralta pitched six innings, allowed just one run, two hits, 10 strikeouts on the way to a 9-2 victory for the Crew. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This report on WAUK is sponsored by Pickleball Kingdom, just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road, Menominee Falls. Pickleball Kingdom.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop to about 63 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, another sunny, warm day, although it will be a little cooler, with a high right around 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Everyone's playing pickleball, and Pickleball Kingdom in Menominee Falls is where it's at. They have 17 pro courts. There's no waiting around. Court times that fit your schedule. Plus an impressive pro shop, event space, full locker rooms with showers, and a bar with big screen TVs so you can catch the action live. Just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road. Follow them on Instagram or Facebook. Pickleball Kingdom, Menominee Falls.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, the deadline clock is ticking in Washington, D.C. on a spending bill when we have a government shutdown. We'll discuss it with Pat Kreitlow of Mornings of Pat Kreitlow and Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, September 17th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. Or perhaps by app or podcast or website or social media. However you got here, glad you got here. I got a question for you. Did you notice the change in seasons recently? Not fall. No, not the school year. No, not football. Campaign season. We have not one, but two campaign announcements on this program to share with you this morning. The first one is just a couple of minutes old. State Representative Francesca Hong making it official. She is a candidate for Wisconsin governor, and she will be joining us in the 8:30 half hour to talk about her run. We will play her introductory video in just a bit. We had to censor it first. If you know anything about Francesca Hong, it's that she's very, very, she does not pull punches when she speaks. How about that? We will also be talking to Corrine Hendrickson. She is a now former child care provider in the New Glarus area. And of course, she has been quite frustrated with the state of politics in our Wisconsin legislature when it comes to looking out for working families. She made it official on this show that she would have to close up her child care center, that it was just no longer something where, well, she didn't want to lose money. Nobody does want to. And so she's had to close up her child care center. And now she's ready for what's next. And she has an announcement that she's going to be making on our program this morning as well. So campaign season for 2026 is definitely underway. And we are one of the places where candidates stop on their way to 2026, so we hope you stick around and hear what Francesca Hong and Corrine Hendrickson have to say. If you can't stick around for everything, you can always pod the program, head over to Spotify, sign up there, or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and that way you have us on demand wherever you go. Also coming up on the program today, we have our homeroom segment. We will be talking to Bryn Horton from the Wisconsin Public Education Network about what else is happening in the state capitol along the lines of education. You know, the state budget's done, but there's all kinds of bills that legislators have been introducing that could affect the way that your kids get an education. Some could be helpful. Some could be meh. Some could be just downright annoying or nuisance or even harmful to public education, undermining public education. So Bryn Horton will talk to us about that in our 7:30 half hour. And of course, it's Wednesday, so we have no shortage of civic media friends to visit with as well to tell us what's going on in their respective necks of the woods. There's James Kelly reporting from Chippewa Falls. There's Earl Ingram in Milwaukee, Jimmy Koska in Boscobel looking at sports and news in Southwest Wisconsin, and Melissa Kay from our sister station in Wisconsin Rapids on Parker Olson, producer of this program. What is National Pet Bird Day? Yeah.
What?
So we're hoping for a big update on Lilu here. Yes.
That's fantastic. Who knew this was a pet bird day? That's so specific.
If we've learned nothing from our history segment, Eric Bailey history lesson is that there is a day for everything. And I don't even read them all because there's so many of them. I mean, there could be National Retro Bar Coaster Day, as I hold up a coaster that I don't know where we got this back in the 1980s, but
those are cool though. That would be a good day.
Got to put your coffee cup on something now and then. So yeah, it's Pet Bird Day. There's a day for everything. Okay. Here's what there's not a day for.
Uh-oh.
Publishers Clearinghouse and the Prize Patrol bringing a great big oversized check to your door and promising that you're going to get so many thousands of dollars for life. So many people have believed this over the years. The look I'm getting from Parker tells me the Prize Patrol is not a thing. No. Correct?
Right. Nope. Over my head. Not a clue.
Well, that's because this was run by Publishers Clearinghouse, which is a magazine sales company.
Okay.
When was the last time you subscribed to a magazine? I'm sorry. Let me restate the question.
Have
you ever subscribed to a paper magazine that was delivered to you in the mail and that you sat leisurely and flipped through?
Hard no, on that one. Yeah.
No, because you already have that with you right there. Here it is. It's that little phone, that little device that can bring up anything from anywhere. So basically every magazine is now a website or an app or social media posts. And so Publishers Clearinghouse, which for years was, you know, the place where you would get your magazine subscriptions, they'd send you this mailer. I'm explaining this to Parker, but don't you're like, what's he gonna? Yes.
Ancient history.
They would send you, it's important, once a year. They'd send you this and big envelope all filled with all kinds of flyers about all the money you could win and all the great deals on magazines. You could get TV Guide, Newsweek and Time and Sports Illustrated and Popular Mechanics. And then there'd be this sheet with all these stamps on it, each one with a different magazine cover, and kind of like we talked about with Columbia House, with the records, you know, using the mail was like how you did all this stuff, Parker, back in the day before there was email, when it wasn't electronic, when it was lick a stamp, put it on the card, mail it in, you get your discounted Sports Illustrated just in time for the swimsuit issue, but you're also entered for the possibility that the Prize Patrol could show up. Sure. And as they took great pains to say, you didn't even have to buy a magazine. You just had to send the envelope back and you were entered into the sweepstakes. And then, of course, you'd get a knock on your door. Well, you wouldn't. It never happened to me. But, you know, there would be, somebody there with a great big check and TV cameras and balloons and everything else, all set to give you money, which included sometimes rather than one big check, it would be so much, you know, per life, like $5,000 a month for the rest of your life, which, again, it's not that you'd necessarily retire on it, but that's a pretty nice thing to have along.
Did
you know?
People actually win this, or was this just something that they said?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Which gets us to today's story.
Oh, boy.
Publishers Clearinghouse is no more. It has gone bankrupt.
I wonder why.
And now we do know why, but you know who else really wonders about this? All the people who were promised cash for life and are now shocked to find out that promise is being broken.
Yeah.
So the remnants of Publishers Clearinghouse went through its bankruptcy process and some other company bought it, a company called ARB, and ARB says, well, we still want like the direct mail part of the company and the online parts of the company, but we're not buying the part of the company that's responsible for making payouts. So that part is still bankrupt, and the people who were promised forever checks are not going to get them. In their Chapter 11 filing, Publishers Clearinghouse listed at least 10 prize winners among its creditors with the largest unsecured claims, totaling millions of dollars. One man who won $5,000 a week forever back in 2012 told the New York Times, He knew something was funny when he didn't get his annual check from the company back in January. So he has had to scramble to pay the bills without the money that he has learned to rely on for the past 13 years.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's running out. CNN has a story about somebody who's had to sell all of their toys, their jet skis and their boats. And he said, I haven't worked in 10 years. I have to go to work now. And he has no marketable skills.
Yeah.
To get into the job market.
Well, if he had a bunch of boats, maybe he could start like doing boat tours.
Do a marina or something, yeah. But he's got nothing to gas up the boats with. So this all dates back to 1953 when a couple, Harold and Luester Mertz and their daughter Joyce, formed a business out of their home in Long Island to send direct-to-consumer mailings that solicited subscribers for a number of magazines, and then they would get a little cut of each magazine subscription. And it grew and it grew, and they started doing these contests in 1967. And all throughout the 70s, 80s, and into the 90s, I mean, everybody would buy their, even if they, you know, just wanted to renew one magazine or something, and they'd always hope that maybe. This was in the years, of course, before multi-state lotteries and billion-dollar jackpots, and you just hoped that lightning would strike,
yeah.
And, you know, Ed McMahon or somebody would be at your door to give you the big check and money for life, unless people stop buying magazines and we ain't got no more money to pay you with.
I assume that inflation happened quite a bit during the time of them doing this.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Did they start with, because you said it was like the 50s, did they start with like, here's a dollar a week? Ha ha, see?
They started in the 50s. The contest started in 1967, which tells me that, I mean, that was the heyday for magazines. I mean, everybody had magazine subscriptions and newspaper subscriptions. And I
turn around here and tell you.
Oh, boy. He's behind. He's looking behind himself. He's reaching to the floor for our listeners at home. And now he has something here.
I still get a paper copy of Atlantic Monthly.
Yeah.
Of course, I picked one that has a nuclear explosion.
I was going to say, is that cover. A bomb?
Well, it's marking 80 years of the nuclear era and how scary it is to have
a goofball with
his finger on the button. Yeah. So I still get it. Although, by and large, when I see interesting articles from the Atlantic, I'm going to go to their app and read it on my phone. But there was just that part of me. It's like, you know, I feel like I got to have some. And frankly, I do. Sometimes when we travel or whatnot, it's, you know, when you got to put your phone in airplane mode, it's nice to have that to look at. But no, people don't anymore. So, yeah, by the 60s, they had enough money that they could set up a contest, figured interest rates would go up, so their savings would go up, so there would always be something to pay out. Until it didn't happen anymore. From Tony on YouTube, I used to subscribe to the international version of Newsweek. Now they don't make any version of a physical magazine. Yeah. No, they do not. You still see them in the bookstores. If you go to, Barnes & Noble?
Yeah.
I mean, the racks are full of these magazines. I don't know who's buying them. They're very specialty-based.
Probably dentist office. That's the only place I can think of.
Somebody's got to be buying them, right? So anyway, I'm sorry if I'm the bearer of bad news for folks, but if you were counting on your Publisher's Clearinghouse money to keep you going, I might suggest going to get a physical newspaper and looking through the want ads, because it's time to find some work. Let's check some sports now at 6:18. Christian Yelich hit home run number 29 and had three RBIs. All-star pitcher Freddie Peralta struck out 10 over six innings. He won his National League leading 17th game as the Brewers beat up on the Los Angeles Angels 9-2 last night. Freddie Peralta looked good. He allowed one run on just two hits. He walked only two. He struck out the side in three different innings. William Contreras had two RBIs. There were other key swings by Sal Frelick, Caleb Durbin, Andrew Vaughn, and Jackson Churio. Brandon Woodruff will get the start in tonight's game two. And you can catch that at, I believe, 6:05. Yes, right there, 6:05. Pregame of the Brewers versus the Angels on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. I predict another win, Parker. I think we're looking good. The magic number is now, it's Cubs won, but the magic number drops to seven.
So. Yeah. Is your elbow, does it have a little twinge of win in it?
A little bit, yeah. That the bursitis is telling me this is what we're going to get today. Yeah, exactly. Okay, we will talk a bit about monopoly money and inflation and corporate America and what they all have in common coming up next from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Talk about overall mental health, how we cope with this nonstop, overwhelming news. Tom, thanks for calling. What's up?
Nobody can do push-ups indefinitely, but bring this back to mental health, and suddenly we feel able to pound through this without taking any kind of a break. And it's just not the way that it works. So do any action that takes you away from whatever it is that you're stressing out. Go for a walk. Get a drink of water. Read a book.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Matt Nair on Air.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is here.
I also don't want to, you know, sit and doom scroll before I go to sleep at night, yeah, because that's not good for my brain. It doesn't help my sleep patterns. Right. And
my brother-in-law, you went to medical school with him. He said at 2 hours, turn off all screens. At 1 hour, get yourself ready for bed. And he goes, and Greg, bed is for two things. That's it.
What are they?
Moving on.
Sleeping
in chess. Listen to you laugh.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Just about 6:23 now. Nice to have you along. It is 64 degrees here in the Chippewa Valley. Brittany Merlot will have a state forecast coming up live in just a little while after the 7 o'clock news, but she did let us know that the heat is going to be hanging on for one more day. Chances for rain keep sneaking in, and then a big system is going to slide through the state over the weekend and make things a little wetter. For today, partly sunny and warm. Showers and storms are possible into this evening in western and northern parts of the state. Highs today will be in the low to upper 80s, just the 80s overall, depending on where in the state you are. A southwest wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Spotty showers and thunderstorms tonight, partly cloudy otherwise. Lows once again near 60 and a light northerly breeze, but it has been just phenomenal, the sleeping weather here lately, but can't beat that. So again, back to the political news of the day. State Representative Francesca Hong will be with us at 8:35, but during this hour, she did put out the note officially confirming her candidacy for governor. If you're not familiar with Francesca Hong, we're going to play some of her campaign introduction video here for you. We had to first run through and bleep one of the words that she's known for, because she tells it like it is. Actually, let her tell you like it is about her background and why she's decided to run for governor. Give a listen.
It's so stressful to get by these days, and I know a lot about stress. I work in restaurants. I started in this kitchen 15 years ago, and you might recognize what's across the street. A lot of people in that building don't get why it's so hard to get by right now. Working hard doesn't mean you can always keep up. One wrong step can lay you out flat. This is by design. I'm State Representative Francesca Hong. I'm a service worker, community organizer, and a mom. I work for a living. Always have, still do. 5 years ago, my community sent me to the Capitol. The system is rigged. I'm running for governor to fix it. For years, we've been told that doing better isn't possible. Well, let me tell you, that's all we need to do is fight together. We can fully fund our public schools and have universal childcare. We can guarantee paid leave and have cheaper health care. We can fix a rigged system that puts oligarchs over workers and small businesses. We can do better. Don't let anyone tell you we can't do this. We can build a Wisconsin where we share the table. I'm Francesca Hong, and I'm running for governor because I know that together we make better possible.
And there you go. That's State Representative Francesca Hong talking about she worked in a restaurant right across the street from the state capitol and has been a member of the state assembly and a rather outspoken one. She is clearly going to run, you know, to the left of the rest of the Democratic field, unapologetically so. She herself, being a chef and a bartender, says more bartenders need to be running for office. Think of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And she is a member of Democratic Socialists of America. She is part of the Socialist Caucus in the Assembly, who, by the way, includes reps from Milwaukee and from Eau Claire with State Representative Christian Phelps, who recently submitted an op-ed that we're going to publish here soon about how we need to get over what Republicans love to seize on the S-word, socialism. And really get back to the heart of what it means for a government that works for the people rather than for corporations. And so we'll talk to Fran Hong about that coming up at 8:30. There's also, in talking about corporate America and its hold on the economy, there were several random notes that caught my attention in the past day or two. You know, there's a lot about the current sluggish economy that we can peg to moves by the White House, but there's more out there than that. It's about big business getting bigger. And this reduces competition. And competition is the most important factor that keeps prices manageable. But there are so many things that show off how as these companies get bigger, we continue to get nickeled and dimed. And to the point where it almost makes your paychecks worth about as much as monopoly money. And monopoly being the key word, because it's not like any one company has full monopoly control, but their share of the market is so much bigger when there's that many fewer competitors. For example, there's a story yesterday about how a St. Louis-based grocery chain is going to acquire Wisconsin-based Festival Foods. And this will include 42 Festival Foods locations, 9 hometown grocers locations. The company, Schnuck, out of St. Louis, is a family-run company as well, and as was Festival and its original roots. And so that's not to say that by itself there's something, you know, that's ominous there. It's just another case, as we've seen in the grocery industry, of, you know, some of the big companies getting bigger, their buyouts, their acquisitions. And so despite all the words said yesterday, dedication to hometowns and employment and everything else, it's just something to watch for at a time when grocery prices, you know, don't appear to be going down. You have XL Energy, which is asking for a rate hike. We talked about this with Robert Craig from Citizen Action. Utilities, again, have a near monopoly in their marketplace. And even when they make a profit, they are always looking to hike the rates a little bit more in that ongoing battle between shareholders or customers. Who do you serve? Remember, we talked to Jim Payne up in Superior, the mayor there, about the water utility, the only privately held water utility in the state of Wisconsin, and how maybe getting it out of private hands and back into the public sector will be better for ratepayers, you know, the actual customers of the water company. But you even have Ben & Jerry's, which is now part of a big corporation called Unilever, and where the Jerry of Ben & Jerry's has just announced he's resigning from the company because he's feeling muzzled politically by the company Unilever, their corporate parent, which makes sense when you've got somebody like Derek Van Orden trying to play big brother in policing the thought and the speech of people all around Wisconsin. So there's no easy answer for all these things. Just a random assortment of things to watch for so that you don't continue to get nickeled and dimed and have your right to free speech chipped away bit by bit. We'll have today's history lesson in just a bit. You're up north. You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 540 WAUK, home of the Midwest Farm Report. Commodity prices do not look like they are getting very bullish anytime soon. That means you need to have a strategy for the crop standing in the field. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is making some suggestions on what you can do to make sure the farm cash flows at least through the harvest. Those suggestions coming up.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
What is the Dairyland seed difference? The answer is found in our difference makers. Our seeds are developed and delivered for unrivaled performance in and only in the Upper Midwest. Our local dealers, expert agronomists, and everyone throughout our organization who live to make life better on farms and in the community. It's our people, products, and pedigree that combine to make a true difference that you can see on the bottom line and feel in your heart. Learn more about our difference makers at DairylandSeedDifference.com.
Cash flowing the farm through the harvest season. That's one of the goals that John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is suggesting. And he said you may need to use multiple tools to do that.
This market's going to have a lot of potential volatility, and especially because of, you know, at least where the corn demand is. So there's some things that we've been talking to producers about. Again, we want to keep things fixed. We want to minimize the risk in terms of margins and things of that nature. A call is a one-time cost, pay for it. You got the position working and just let it work. Whether you use somebody like myself or even talk to your elevator about it, those opportunities are out there that you can keep some ownership over this crop into the spring.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He says have those conversation with your elevators or your crop advisor right away and try to capitalize on any ups that might develop. Not many ups this morning in Chicago. Right now, December corn is down a half, 429. November soybeans are down 6, 1044. The wheat for July of next year, down 2, 571. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese remained unchanged, 161 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese did gain a penny, 162 and three quarters. Double A butter down another nickel, 177 a pound. And the October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 6 right now, 1659 a hundredweight. That's just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Wednesday trade session. More available now, MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
This report on 540 WAUK is sponsored by Horizons Law Group. Learn more online at horizonslaw.com.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop to about 63 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, another sunny, warm day, although it will be a little cooler with a high right around 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
50% of marriages end in divorce. Many of you listening may need our services. I'm Michelle Fitzgerald, founder of Horizons Law Group in Brookfield. Every divorce is different, so we offer a range of options, including flat fee, limited scope, mediation, and traditional divorce services. Don't go it alone. Educate yourself. Call Horizons Law Group, 262-432-3600, or visit horizonslaw.com. Horizons Law Group, where we educate, collaborate, mediate, or litigate to serve you best.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This week, we sit down with Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, and she talks about her run for Lieutenant Governor.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Can we talk about one-hit wonders for just a moment as we kick off today's history lesson on this Wednesday morning, September 17th? That is the Sanford Townsend Band, Smoke from a Distant Fire, which on this day in 1977 peaked at number 9. And to this day, almost 50 years later, I'll hear that come on. It was, you know, one of my favorite songs at the time. It's had a lot of legs ever since. You can still hear it on classic radio stations. And you go, that was a really good tune. How come they never did anything else? You know, what is it about some bands and some writers, and they can just pump things out like crazy? And you don't have to go into the whole list of one-hit wonders.
No.
But, you know, you hear one sometimes and you go, I really thought that person or that band was going to be bigger. And yeah, you hear the hit and you go, oh my gosh, that's the only thing I ever heard from them.
Yeah. There are a couple of times that I've like heard a song that I've really liked and thought, I'm going to check out this band. And I've looked at the band and I'm like, wow, these guys suck. Why is this song good?
They got lucky once. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that could be it. Maybe some other talented songwriter slipped them a little something and said, here, try this. You know, and they struck pay dirt on one. Yeah. Couldn't do it any other time other than that. But whatever the reason, the Sanford Townsend Band peaked at number 9 this day in 1977. All right. I was joking about Ed McMahon earlier, and by sheer coincidence, this is the anniversary of the beginning of the Ed McMahon-hosted show Star Search. It made its debut on CBS in 1983 on this day, and then later went into syndication. Here's from 1990. Here's a little of the intro to Star Search.
Entertainment capital of the world, it's round two of the 1990 competition on Star Search with Ed McMahon.
Tonight, you know, for all the stars that would appear on that show as beginners, how come one of them couldn't stick around and replace that guy as announcer? From Hollywood, the entertainment capital of the world.
Yeah, he's really working that vocal acting, huh?
How did he get that gig? Anyway, the show itself was a juggernaut in, of course, the years prior to the internet, where you had things like this as a way to get your big break. This is a partial list of names you know that you may have seen for the very first time on Star Search. Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears, Alanis Morissette, Sawyer Brown, Jessica Simpson, Christina Aguilera, Tiffany, Leanne Rimes, Usher, Shanice, Ayla, Pitbull, Destiny's Child, comedians Dave Chappelle, Ray Romano, Brad Garrett, Adam Sandler, Dennis Miller, Bill Engvall, Carlos Mencia, Drew Carey, Steve Odenkirk, Kevin James, Rosie O'Donnell, Norm MacDonald, and Conan O'Brien.
What?
All were on Star Search when they were unknowns looking for their big break. That show was like, it felt like every talent agent in the business was watching this looking for their next get.
So American Idol was just jealous that they couldn't be what Star Search was.
Yeah, to a degree, but I think they you know what they've done and America, well, not so much America, The Voice is the other one I was trying to think of, is you know, they've really gone for that niche singing, but Star Search was like all things. Kind of like America's Got Talent. It was singing, it was comedy, it was anything like that, but it didn't have, like, you know, the Simon Cowell kind of, you know, sassy judges kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was just very much a straight rating scale from whatever judges they had or the public. I forget who all voted at different times. So of course it was a simpler time. It was a nicer time. Whereas the shows now, you know, they got to get complex. They got to get all the production value in there, and they've got to have conflict. And Star Search was just a plain old fashioned variety contest show, talent show. That was it.
Never heard you talk about variety shows on here before.
No, we never talk about that at all.
No.
All right. So let's go back to the music charts. On this day in 1955, this was the number one song by Pat Boone.
This isn't the song that I thought you would sigh for.
Me cry when you said goodbye. Ain't that a shame?
God, it hurts to play it. This is the sterilized version of the Fats Domino song. We had talked about it 3 weeks ago, the Fats Domino version, peaking at number 10. And then Pat Boone did the cover, and it went to number one. And so to cleanse our palate, here's Fats Domino with the better version.
You made me cry when you said goodbye. Is that a shame?
Now, there was some good that came out of Pat Boone remaking it and going to number one back in 1955, is that Fats Domino did get a lot of attention, and since he wrote it, it earned him substantial royalties. So that was a nice thing. Let's move up the timeline to 1968, when the psychedelic soul anthem from the Fifth Dimension was certified gold with this tune. This, of course, would be the Fifth Dimension's Stone Soul Picnic. Let's see. What else do we have today? The United States Constitution was signed at Independence Hall in Philadelphia this day in 1787, bringing the Constitutional Convention to an end. Birthdays today include the late Junior Bridgman, the former Milwaukee Bucks star turned billionaire entrepreneur. He was born this day in 1953. He passed away this past March at the age of 71. Quarterback Patrick Mahomes hits the big 3-0 today. 30 years old for Patrick Mahomes. And this is the anniversary of the birth of Hank Williams Sr. in 1923. Now, to be clear, country music was different than what it is now, where you could literally yodel like this and become a star. On this day in 1983, Vanessa Williams became the first Black Miss America. On this day in 1984, John Waite hit number one with Missing You. And happy 74th birthday to Fee Waybill of the Tubes, who was born this day in 1950, making him 75 today. That's another group. I think the Tubes only had like two hits on the charts, and I thought that they'd go a little further, but they did not.
It was a weird music video to see.
Oh, they were all weird back then. I mean, Melissa Kay is here from WFHR in Wisconsin Ravage. She'll back me up on that. Weird music videos, which
good morning. I haven't seen a lot of them, but I think it's funny that Parker thinks they're weird.
Parker thinks they're weird. Yeah,
that's fair. I come from a different.
Can you imagine
era.
Locking him in a room with MTV for a day and just watching 80s music videos and then having
I
him
would
give
love
his
the
take?
Commentary.
Part of this music video was a kid sitting on a little cart and a woman in like latex, I think, like holding him as they went on like a ride.
Well, it's a very burlesque type of deal. You know, I mean,
latex clothing then was normal. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of things that were normal in the 80s we regret now. Melissa, how are you today?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. Good. Today on the National Day calendar, this is National Apple Dumpling Day. I don't know if I've ever had apple dumplings, but I've eaten my body weight in apple crisp, and I'm going to have some more here. Because
my mom made fruit dumplings a lot when I was a kid.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. That sounds good. But more importantly,
rhubarb and strawberry.
Oh, well, I mean, you lost me at rhubarb, but, you know, strawberry dumplings, that could be fun. Sure. More importantly, on the National Day calendar, today is National Pet Bird Day. Congratulations, Lulu and Melissa.
Ooh,
How is Lilu these days?
You know what? I really think that Lilu is going to fly again someday.
Because, really?
Yeah, remember how I told you they flew up to the top of their little box that I made for them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they've started to fly up to the top of the table, which is next to it, which is twice as high as the box.
Oh, baby steps.
Fly right up there.
Baby flaps, I guess, as the case may be. So Lilu the rescue pigeon may mm-hmm. fly again.
May fly. A determined, stubborn bird.
No, that's a wonderful thing. That's great. So, yeah, you probably didn't know there was a National Pet Bird Day, so you probably didn't plan to do anything special. Lilu's not going to get like a little tiny cake or something like that.
Rice is
a rice cake. Okay. I see what you did there.
Does Lilu like rice very cake? Nice. Do we know?
What?
Does Lilu like rice cake? Do we know?
Well, Lilu loves rice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just rice. That is the thing. So we'll find out if Lilu likes rice cake.
Well,
if it's rice, you know, like kernels formed in a cake, they will love it.
That's true.
Maybe, because I'd tell you this. A lot of people like popcorn, but if I offer you a popcorn ball, you're going to say, get that away from me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Although when you think
just
about it,
they're difficult to eat.
Yes. Well, they're like kettle corn, you know, and people like kettle corn. Mm-hmm. But then take kettle corn and form it into a ball and then leave it alone for 2 weeks while it gets good and stale, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not how it's supposed to work at all. Let's see. I got one more music note to pass along. Kanye West went to number one this day in 2005, along with Jamie Foxx. This is, of course, Ray Charles's I Got a Woman is being sampled here. And the year before, in 2004, Jamie Foxx had portrayed Ray Charles in the film Ray. He does an amazing Ray Charles. But we're going to bring that down now, because even though I've confirmed this clip 15 different times, you always want to make sure you get the clean version.
I genuinely could not believe there was a clean version of this that we found.
I know. And, you know, the internet being what it is, just because it says clean version, don't take it on faith. You listen to that puppy all the way through. And
The internet lies, Pat?
It's been known to happen. Yeah,
no.
it does. It's not entirely unprecedented, you know. Yeah. So trust but verify. That's what we like to do. So what have you been up to out there in beautiful central Wisconsin?
Well, we're getting ready for our upcoming events. We're involved in the Christmas tree walk this year. And guess what, guys? We're decorating our tree. Like, we're pulling all the elements of WFHR and WIRA into it with a Agatha chicken head as our tree topper. We're going to have cranberries looping the tree. I've almost convinced them that we need to take like dry corn, you know, like out of the field corn and break it up into pieces to use as ornaments. We're going to put CDs with our like information on them as ornaments. It's going to be so much fun. I can't wait to do it.
Well, very interesting.
Yeah.
It's
the Southwood County Historical Museum, and different organizations can have a tree to decorate that then as people walk through the beautiful mansion that is our museum and see all of the different trees from the different organizations. So it's our first year doing that.
That's good for you guys for planning for Christmas now, because I'm the kind of guy that it'd be like the week before and I go, well, I suppose we should do something, you know.
Well, it takes a while to make a papier-mâché Agatha chicken head.
I'll bet that it does. Yes.
There's a sentence you didn't think you'd hear today.
Is that your job?
Well, Ashley and I are taking that on.
Okay. Well, then I can
we're
see
a team.
Completely working.
We're having an art night. There might be wine. Can't say.
That's a good
idea. No, I can say, and there should be. Melissa Kay from 97.5 WFHR and 105.5 WIRI in Wisconsin Rapids is with us for today's history lesson. Coming up right after the 7 o'clock news, we're going to be talking to Corrine Hendrickson, former child care provider in the Nuglaris area, who is going to make a campaign announcement coming up in just a few minutes here. That's followed in our 8 o'clock hour by State Representative Francesca Hong, newly announced candidate for Wisconsin governor. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Does Trump's big bill end taxes on tips and overtime? No. President Donald Trump's new law exempts certain tip and overtime income from federal tax. But the deductions expire in 2028 and come with limits. Workers earning under $150,000 can deduct up to $25,000 in tips and $12,500 in overtime. Social Security, Medicare, and state taxes still apply. The Tax Policy Center says 2% of households will benefit from the tip provision, saving $1,800. The White House estimates $1,400 in average annual savings from the overtime deduction. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. Good morning, happy Wednesday, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin.
If you're hearing that music, you know it's time to talk to Civic Media's meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. As I've said many times, she's a multi-award-winning journalist here at the network, and we talk to her every week about what's going on in the weather and what's going on with the environment as well. And last month, we had historic flooding in Milwaukee and the surrounding areas. She talked to us about the cleanup plan and how to stay safe. She also mentioned an effort through the Red Cross of Wisconsin to gather folks who want to come together to help in times of disaster. And we've got more information for you today, because this isn't just about what happened in August in this part of the state. This is about putting a plan together for all of Wisconsin, because this will happen again. Brittany, I always love having you here. You always have the great information, and today you bring a message from the Red Cross.
Yes, I do. So they put out a notice. They were looking for disaster action team volunteers. And I talked to you about this a few weeks ago, and you know, it's a really cool position where you go right after a natural disaster hits, and you're the first ones there giving support, giving blankets after a fire, running that shelter and stuff like that. And it takes time. Those shelters actually stay open for as long as it takes for residents to find alternative housing. So that could be days to weeks. So getting people to staff that is hard. And when I was talking to them, I was talking to the regional communications director for Red Cross of Wisconsin specifically. And I basically asked, why are you doing this? Why do you need more people? Is it because they were pulled to the Milwaukee flood? Are not enough people volunteering? What's going on here? And she said, well, this is sparked by climate change. They are seeing more large-scale natural disasters across the country, even here in Wisconsin. And so they want to beef up their team and really, you know, upscale it to plan and prepare for what's coming ahead. Kind of crazy to think about.
Well, actually, to me, Brittany, it kind of makes sense because after the conversations we've been having with you, as well as other people from Milwaukee and Wauwatosa, this seems like because of climate change, this is something we're going to have to get used to because we weren't used to flooding like this in southeastern Wisconsin. So it would make sense that the Red Cross would want to start gathering these groups together because now it's about preparing for next time, right?
It's sad and it's true. And it's a good thing that they are doing that because we're already seeing trends. I mean, NOAA's reporting that southern Wisconsin over the past 40, 50 years has already seen a significantly higher amount of precipitation every single year. They've got little asterisks and stars for the southern half of the state. Like, watch this. They're already increasing. It's only going to get worse. And when I was talking to the DNR, too, they're saying they're expecting more rivers to rise. Of course, so am I, which is going to erode soil and coastlines. I mean, it's going to wash out more roads, bridges, keep inundating sewers and wastewater treatment plants. I mean, we can't always point the finger at wastewater treatment plants because that's a lot of rain coming in all at once. And it's only going to get worse, right? So we're going to see more and more problems as we go on. And I was digging in, too, to like all the stats and stuff from the National Weather Service and NOAA. And over the past 44 years, there have been 63 major weather disasters in Wisconsin that caused over $1 billion in damage. Okay, so that's over 44 years. So you're like, okay, 63. That used to be a yearly average of about 1.5 big events. Mm-hmm. Well, if you break the data down to the last 5 years, now we're trending 5 major events every year in Wisconsin. So, of course, the Red Cross is doing this. They need help because more is going to keep coming. And it's scary to think about because I looked back at the events. What were they? 9 of them were droughts, 5 floods. This didn't include the Milwaukee flood. This went up to 2024. 1 freeze event. 44 severe thunderstorms, which includes tornadoes in there, 4 snowstorms.
So if people want to be a part of these action teams, what do they need to do? Do they need special training? Do they need to have advanced degrees? Are we just talking about regular folks trying to help?
We are just talking about regular folks trying to help. I mean, they said if you could just give hours to a day, to a week, whatever you can give will help them out. It can be as simple as remote work, you know, activating and calling the disaster responders. And then the disaster responders come from all over the place. You could be locally. You could be coming from out of state. They've got a lot of help. When I looked into it, I mean, there are people coming from down south to Milwaukee through the Red Cross to help us. So anyone and everyone can do it. Training is offered. It's online, so you can sit at home and do it. It's flexible and it's free, they said. So why not have that knowledge behind your back, right?
It only seems to make sense that if you want to help, you can do these kinds of things. In fact, I feel like this is something that will become more and more ubiquitous as we go further and further into these natural disasters that are caused by climate change. And I keep saying that because I feel like this isn't about politics. This is about the facts, the science. We just have to accept the fact that climate change and global warming is real. And while we're trying to work on solutions for the long run, right now we have to put our best foot forward. Help out where we can. And if you can do that, sign up with the Red Cross today. Brittany, thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate your time, your expertise, and all of the research you do. You are, as I like to put it, an award-winning journalist.
Thanks, Greg. I appreciate it.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Thank you. Have a good day.
I thank Brittany Merlot for her time and expertise on this. She's always sharing the good information, things we need to do to prepare ourselves to stay safe in inclement weather, as well as just how to help others, as well as the environment. If you want to find out more about joining a disaster action team, go to redcross.org. And if you're interested in reading Brittany Merlot's stories, go to civicmedia.us/news. There you'll find all of the stories she's working on, as well as the stories that all of our other journalists are working on here at Civic Media. It's all there for you at civicmedia.us/news.
Stick around, because after the top of the hour news at 7:06, Pat welcomes Corrine Hendrickson to the show, who's making her first appearance since announcing her candidacy for State Senate District Number 17. Stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's Local Report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To take all your favorite WAUK shows with you on the go, download the free Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play Store. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 6:59.
Is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Marine One landing in a private walled garden near Windsor Castle, where President Trump and the First Lady have just been welcomed by King Charles and top members of the royal family. A horse and carriage procession delivering the group to the castle now. Former CDC Director Susan Menares will testify on Capitol Hill today. CBS's Nicole Killian.
She will tell the Senate Help Committee that she believes she was fired because she did not pre-approve the recommendations from a newly reconstituted vaccine advisory panel and fire career scientist at the agency.
The suspect in the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk's been hit with 7 charges, most serious aggravated murder. Prosecutor Chad Grenander.
Just for the court's information, we did file just recently, within the last few minutes, a notice of intent to seek the death penalty that was filed by Utah County Attorney Jeff Gray.
CBS.